Bibles and turn to Joshua tonight for our reading. If you will, Joshua 13, please. And we'll begin at verse number 1 in our reading. Thank you for being here. Trust you'll pray the Lord will speak to us and help us from His Word tonight. I don't know anything that can help us quite like the Word of God can. And we're thankful for God's Word. Joshua chapter 13 says, Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said to him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth. All the borders of the Philistines and all Geshurah, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites and the Ashdothites, the Eshcolonites, the Gittites and the Ekronites. Also the Avites from the south, all the land of the Canaanites and Mira that's beside the Sidonians unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites and all the land of the Giblites and all Lebanon toward the sun rising from Baal Gad under Mount Hermon unto the entering into Hamath. I'll stop reading there. Please notice again verse number 1 where Joshua says to the people, or the Lord says to him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. I'd like to speak for a few moments on the subject, very much remaining. We're about to look at how Joshua divides the promised land among the tribes. But before we look at that, the Lord says to Joshua and to the whole nation, You've done well, you've conquered over 30 kings, and you've taken their lands as I promised. But God said, I want you to know that there's so much more that you could do if you wanted to. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And I read to you some of these borders here, the names of these towns, these villages, and all these people, these heathen who were living there. Their land portions here in the southwest, if you were to take a Bible map from that time, you could identify these various towns that they have not yet possessed in the northeast and the southwest and especially to the east, all Lebanon. It was still unconquered. Most of us here tonight, when we think of the nation of Israel, we think of modern-day Israel, which is so much smaller than what God gave to Abraham. If you were to compare the borders from Genesis that God gave to Abraham, compare that to Israel today, I'm sure the nation of Israel today is not even half of what God originally gave, maybe not even a third. You can check that out, and it's all been chopped up and given away in the last 100 years. So the Lord is saying, you've done well, you've conquered some, but don't get complacent. Don't think it's done. There's so much more that is yours if you want it, if you'll take it. And of course, there's a spiritual application here. And in our spiritual lives, there is so much more, first of all, to be learned. Can you imagine somebody walking into a library and reading one book and putting that book back and saying, well, I've got this all under control, got all this knowledge now in my head. Oh, no, you just started. You just started. There's more books. There's hundreds more books. There's thousands more books. There's millions more books. There's so much more. It doesn't matter who the smartest person in the world is tonight, but whoever that is, he or she, smile break right there. He or she still has got a lot to learn. Amen. Spiritually speaking, we've got a lot to learn. Amen. I've been trying to study the Bible every day now for 40 years. And that's one proof of the inspiration of the Bible, is that it just keeps speaking to you. What other book would you read over and over and over and over again? I have very few. I think I only have one or two books that I've ever thought necessary to read more than once. But the Bible is different, of course. And I'm learning, aren't you? And there's so much yet to learn. Don't get settled down and think, well, I sort of know my way around the Psalms a little bit, and I know a little bit about John 3:16, and I know a little bit. How about this? Learn all of it. Why do you think God gave all of it if He didn't want you to learn all of it? There's much more to be learned. For a lot of Christians, I'm afraid, their Bible's almost as new and clean as the day it came from the printer. There's no fingerprints. It's unused. It's land unpossessed, unconquered, unknown. Folks, the Bible is to be used. It's not to sit on your coffee table and put your coffee cup on. Amen. It's bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. And God intends for you to claim it, to read and say, Lord, You're talking to me. And I want to endorse that check, and I want to present that check at the bank of heaven. And Lord, I believe that You'll cash. I'm talking about the promises of the Bible are like checks from God to you, made out to you. But they do you no good if you don't personalize them, present them, and have God cash them for you. Amen. There's so much more to learn. You know, when I was growing up, they said, don't worry about that book of Revelation. You know, and I thought that was strange. I thought that was strange because I read one day in Revelation 1:3, God promised a special blessing to the person that reads the book of Revelation. And that's the only book where that promise is. And now people are telling me not to read it. And God said, if you don't read anything else, read Revelation. And what other book would you want to read and leave out the last chapter? Well, sure you want to read Revelation. And it all perfectly fits in, doesn't it, with all the rest of the Bible. So you can possess Revelation as well. You can understand it all. You and the Bible and the Holy Ghost, you can understand it all. Amen. I like what Ann said to me today. She said people need to learn to read the Bible slow. Amen. People read it too fast and they skim over it. Take your time. Pray over it, settle down, read it, reread it, and reread it again and pray over it. Amen. That's the way to read the Bible. You don't just skim over it like the Taylorsville Times. I can look through the Taylorsville Times. I never spend more than 5 minutes. Do you? If you do, that's wonderful. That's fine. I'm sure we all have sections we like, and I look for people's photographs and editorials. What do you look for? But I don't read every word. I don't read every word. Maybe you should. That's okay. But when you're reading the Bible, read every word. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration. I'm just saying there's so much to be explored, possessed, understood, mastered. There's so much to be occupied and cultivated. God said you've done well, but there's a whole lot more. And later on, they're going to wish they had taken the whole land. And all these heathen they left in various places. came back to torment them, to fight against them, to steal their land from them, to intermarry with them, to get them mixed up in idolatry. They could have had the whole land, but they settled for less than God's best, didn't they? So when it comes to learning and knowledge, there's very much yet to learn. Pick you out a book of the Bible and master it. It ought to be that somebody could sit down with the New Testament, read a verse out of the New Testament anywhere, and you'd be able to say, oh, I know what book that's from. And I think I know what chapter that's from. Amen? Amen. We ought to be ashamed if we're ignorant of the Bible. We know everything else. Hello? Sure we do. We know everything else just about. Well, it's certainly true in that matter of learning. And then number two, it's true in this matter of experience. We have very much yet to experience. You know, when you get saved, you experience salvation. Praise God. Somewhere along the line, you experience assurance. I trust that's real close to your salvation. But you learn things, you take God at His Word, you learn to pray, you learn adventures in faith, and it's just a whole learning process. I was thinking about how Elijah was on the mountain praying. He prayed for rain, and he said to his servant, go look and see if there's any rain clouds up there. There was no rain cloud. He prayed again. There's still no rain cloud. He prayed seven times. Finally, there was a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, let's get out of here. It's going to come a gully washer. And thank God it did. You know what Elijah teaches us? Keep on praying. He didn't pray one time and stop. He didn't pray five times and stop. He prayed seven times and finally the answer came. You'll learn that in your Christian life. That's one thing you learn. You learn that God's not a vending machine and He doesn't dispense everything immediately. He learns to test. You learn to strengthen your faith through use. And God wants us to have more than just the faith we started with. But He wants us our faith to grow. Amen. That takes testing. That takes use. So there remaineth very much to be experienced. Have you ever experienced the fullness of the Holy Ghost? Have you ever experienced the Lordship of Christ? Have you ever experienced the perfect will of God? I'm talking about things. These are not automatic. They don't come just immediately and automatically with salvation. These are things you learn along the way as you surrender. Amen. Did you ever experience the peace of God? Some Christians haven't. There's peace with God. That's one thing. That's positional. But Paul talked about the peace of God that keeps and guards our hearts and minds. That's different. That takes your cooperation. So there's a lot of experiences in the Christian life. Amen. You've got your own testimony, your own experiences, the level where you are, the things you're majoring on right now. That'll change. That'll change. You'll learn more. You'll build on that. You'll have different times in your life. Maybe when you're a teenager. Maybe you're a young adult. Then there's children. Maybe there's grandchildren. Maybe you're a senior adult. There's different phases in life. Seasons in your Christian life. Sometimes you're learning faith. Sometimes you're learning obedience. Sometimes you're learning surrender. Sometimes you're learning how to witness. Sometimes you're learning how to pray. Sometimes you're learning how to be a daddy. Sometimes you're learning how to be a mammal. It's not stagnant. It grows with you. Amen. And there remaineth very much to be experienced. You hadn't tasted it all. You hadn't tasted it all. Can you imagine somebody eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and saying, well, I've tasted everything there is to taste in this old world. Oh, no, you hadn't. Oh, no, you hadn't. There's probably hundreds and thousands of different meats and cheeses and tastes. And thank God desserts, there's a whole lot to taste out there. Is that right? And Joshua, and God saying through Joshua, thank God for what you done, folks. But you just got started. You just got started in your learning. You just got started in your experiences. There's more to conquer, more to possess. I'm glad for that. Can you imagine somebody that's never been anywhere in the whole wide world except Alexander County saying, well, you know, I've seen it all. You've seen it all. You ain't seen nothing yet, buddy. You hadn't even seen North Carolina. You hadn't even been in Florida and smelled the water in Florida yet. You hadn't seen the Shenandoahs. You hadn't seen the mighty Mississippi. You hadn't seen anything yet. And after you've seen everything in America, there's 200 more nations in this world. Amen. It's going to take the whole millennium for us to see this thing. You know that? That's right. There's so much more. I'm glad for what you know, but folks, we hadn't seen nothing. We ain't been nowhere yet. Do you know how big this universe is? Do you know how much God knows that He's going to impart with us? It's going to take forever and ever. Amen. I'm just saying we're on the little end of something big, and we've just had the first taste. Amen. There's so much more to be experienced. So much more to be accomplished. Our Lord's last command was to be His witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, until everybody in the world's heard the gospel. There's a need for the church, and until everybody that's saved has grown to maturity, there's need for the church. The work will never grow small. This is the hour of the greatest need in the history of the world. There remaineth very much to be accomplished. Even in our own nation, I just heard just a few weeks ago that there's 1,000 villages up in the northeastern part of our country that need a Baptist church right now. The need is everywhere. And you can study it in generation by generation. We've just got a little bit further behind and a little bit further behind. And there were people who saw this coming and said hundreds of years ago, if we don't do something, we're really going to have a big problem one of these days. A.T. Pearson said, we're going to win them or we're going to have to fight them. That's where we are tonight. The most populated nations in the world. We didn't win them. China, India, and now we're just on the verge of war all the time. And there was a time when they called for missionaries. They wanted preachers. After the war, Japan asked for 1,000 missionaries. We didn't send anybody. And Japan is 99% heathen tonight. I'm just saying, there remaineth very much to be done. To be accomplished, to be learned, to be experienced, to be possessed. That need is not just far away. Of course, it's as close as your fingertips. When Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, the need's as close as your own family, your own front door, with children to raise and lessons to teach and prayers to pray and examples to set and meals to serve and letters to write and visits to make. You don't have to look far. And you'll see the very much that remains to be done. Every generation urgently needs Bible translators. I don't know of any greater need than that. Tonight, Bible translators. The Bible says the Lord gave the word, Psalm 68:11, and great was the company of them that published it. You see, the church is supposed to publish the Bible. We lost that somewhere along the way. We let the world have it, and that's why they sell every version in the world for money. That's right. I think it's one of those companies that sells the Bible also sells the satanic Bible. That shows you they have zero commitment to the truth. They just want a dollar. It's supposed to be the church printing the Bibles. It was for years, even when we had to hand write them. Amen. That's right. But that's just an example of where there's so much that needs to be done. Pray about that. Do you know any greater accomplishment for somebody's life than to be able to say, well, I put somebody's spoken language in print and translated the Word of God into their language, and now they didn't have a Bible. Now they have a Bible. Let me tell you, that's greater than being the head of the United Nations. Amen. There remains much to be done. I'm almost done. So the Word of God is challenging us tonight, not just to settle on our lees and just say, well, thank God we've got 30-some victories. Well, amen. But the Bible says keep pressing toward the mark and keep looking ahead. Thank God for every victory you've won. But that doesn't mean sit down and give up and just rest on what you've done. The Bible says very much to be possessed, to be conquered, to be enjoyed. If you think you've got very far in your Christian life, you just sit down with a senior saint. Let them tell you some of their experiences. Then measure your faith with theirs. Sit down with somebody in a nursing home that's got every reason in the world to complain and never complains, and then measure your sanctification with theirs. Read George Mueller. If you think you got any faith, read George Mueller's diary and see how he prayed in everything he ever had for those orphans for all those years. It's no wonder God used his autobiography to start a revival. If you think you're a great Christian, then you read Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians. That's the title of a book. Vance Havner said he read that and realized he hadn't even taken the first step in his Christian life. Folks, we think we're good Christians until we really look at a good Christian. Amen. I'm just saying we got a long ways to go. That's not to discourage us. That's to encourage us to keep on and fight the next battle and possess the next land and don't fall short of what God wants you to have. We've hardly begun. I remember talking to a fellow one time. He was mixed up. He believed in praying in tongues. And I said, sir, I'm so sorry. I know you're sincere, but you're wrong. He said, well, I don't care what the Bible says. He said, I know what I've experienced. I said, well, let me tell you something. There's something more important than your experiences. And that's the objective Word of God. Any experience that doesn't line up with the Bible is worthless. Yeah. But God will give you some experiences. He will. He'll let you enjoy your religion. He might let you cry. He might let you testify. He might even let you shout. Amen. Percy Race pulled off the side of the road, felt like God wanted him to shout. He stood there and he shouted. Several days later, some bootleggers came up to him and said, we heard you shouting. We was down there to steal. God used that to convict us. We all got saved. Amen. I'd rather hear a shout than a pout, wouldn't you? And so would God. So take your next step. Enjoy your Christian life. Never settle down. You say, I've written 100 songs. Well, hallelujah, write 100 more. You say, I've written 2 books. Write 2 more. Yeah, I've witnessed to 1,000 people. Witness to 1,000 more. Amen. That's what God's telling us. There's very much yet to be done. A lot of churches are living in the past, living on what they did 5 generations ago. What about now? What about the urgent need right now? so much more to be done. And as I said a moment ago, what Joshua didn't use, the lands they did not conquer, the world used it. Use it or lose it. That's true in everything. Use it or lose it. Certainly true here. Cecil Rhodes was the founder of the nation of Rhodesia. I guess he did a lot of good. I don't know the whole story. I just know his last words. He said, "So much to do and so little done. So much to do and so little done." May that not be true in our lives. With so much to learn. I'm still excited about reading my Bible and learning my Bible, aren't you? I'm still excited about God's perfect will for our lives. God is good. Amen. You can look forward to the rest of your journey. Amen. God ain't going to hurt you. He's got good things planned for you. Why would He send His Son to the cross if He didn't love you to the uttermost? Just don't fall short. Just don't settle down and say, "Well, I'm done. Don't want to do no more. Don't want to learn no more." Well, just, you better keep running till you cross the finish line. Then you can shout and celebrate forever and ever. Thank you for listening. Let's stand tonight for worship.